Okay, once again, I wish to welcome everyone to Session 7 in our 12-week program. In today's session, Jerry's going to be discussing with us how to prevent our negative past experiences from slowing us down. Most importantly, we'll learn how to eliminate negative things that may be prone to programming us in the wrong way and keep the positive that will enhance our lives.
Welcome to Session 7 in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. I hope you're really enjoying the information so far, and if so, we don't want to stop here, so let's keep going. And again, when you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here into the studio. It's time now to continue to listen to Session 7.
Again, help me welcome, let's welcome international personal growth expert and life strategist, Mr. Gary Cox.
Well, Al, thanks again for your help, and I appreciate you being a part of our, what is it, Session 7 already now. We're beyond halfway through.
Absolutely.
Let's do a quick review of last week's session, and then we'll get into Session 7. Last week, we talked about the ability to handle rejection and how, unfortunately, if we don't handle rejection effectively, how it can really prevent us from following through. We also talked about conditioning our minds in such a way that we have to be careful that we really don't make things worse than they really are because of these feelings of rejection. And perhaps maybe one of the most important things from last week's session was learning ways that we can shave off years off the learning curve, shave off a tremendous amount of pain, anxiety, frustration, because there is a tremendous amount of frustration that we're going to experience as we work and follow through our goals. But if we can figure out a way to minimize some of that, then why not? And of course, we focused a lot of that last week. Let's go ahead with Session 7. Hopefully you have got your information or your workbook or your pages from the website in front of you. We're going to get started right away. What we're going to do again tonight, as we have been doing on most of our sessions, is we're going to take one of the questions or statements from page 1 of Session 1. Tonight we're going to talk about number 8. So fill in the blanks with me. Here we go. The 8th thing that we discussed on Session 1 that could prevent us from following through was, how much do I not allow my past to prevent me from going forward? Hopefully, we might have a 10 there. 10 would be the best score or the best evaluation. If you can give yourself a 10, great. If you can't, be honest with yourself. Go lower if we have to. So how much do I not allow my past to prevent me from going forward? And that is really a challenge, I really think, for most of us, if we're human beings and breathe. The reason for that is we all have challenges in our past. We all have a story, and we've all had hard times. And, you know, when we're experiencing those hard times, it's incredibly, incredibly challenging for us. And some of you out there have had, no doubt, harder times than others. But no matter how challenging the time is, when you are experiencing some of these hard times, for you, their experience of something that's incredibly major. It's a major obstacle for us when we're experiencing these hard times. And what we have to learn to do is to be able to manage them so we can continue to follow through. We have to remember that our past does not equal our future. And for some people, unfortunately, their past does equal their future, and that's unfortunately a choice for them. So my question to you is, what about you? Are you allowing your past to affect your future? In other words, we all have quote-unquote failures. And of course, I use that term failure loosely because failure is basically a perception, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. We all have had past failures. Are we dwelling on those failures, or are we able to really move forward? So today we're going to talk about ways that we can try to move forward, things that we can do so we can not allow the past to really smother us and get to the point where it overwhelms us so much that we can't look at anything that's good, or we can't look at the light at the end of the tunnel, or we're unable to follow through. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. Let's go to the next statement. And by the way, before we go to that statement on how much do I not allow my past to prevent me from going forward, let's go ahead and evaluate that again today. If you went back to Session 1, hopefully you evaluated that with a 1 or a 9 or a 10 or a 6. If you were to evaluate it today, are you making some progress? Did maybe you have a 7 earlier and now you're at a 9? Did you have a 4 and maybe now you're at a 6 or a 7? Are you seeing some progress? And I hope you are. So let's go to the next statement. We are the sum total, S-U-M, we are the sum total of everything. Fill in the blanks there. We are the sum total of everything we have ever experienced in our lives. We are the sum total of everything we have ever experienced in our lives. These experiences, note this point, these experiences start from the day that we are born to this very moment. What this amounts to is from the time that we were born to right now, we are being programmed or have been programmed or are being programmed. Conditioned, if you want to call it. But it is really a programming process, isn't it? Now, where do we get this programming from? We get it from everything, from our parents. We get it from the religion that we may be involved in, our culture, teachers, grandparents. All these things that we have been exposed to influence us, books that we have read, newspaper, television, and the list goes on and on and on. The next statement is some of these experiences we remember, many, fill in the blank with this, many we don't. Some of these experiences we remember, many we don't. Next point to think about. The challenge is to focus on the successes, not the failures. Put the word failures in there. The challenge is to focus on the successes, not the failures. That is not easy to always do. Unfortunately, I've had some people literally, and maybe some of you out there fit in this category. I hope not, but it's possible. I've had some people say, Gary, I don't have any successes. That's sad. When I hear somebody say, I don't have any successes, in some cases, there are some people that maybe in their mind's eye, they really feel they don't have any successes. And I don't really always buy that unless it's some really major, major, major extreme case. But stop and think about it. If I were to take a video of your entire life from the day you were born to this very moment, I think you would agree that I could take 5 minutes worth of clips of anything that's been very, very depressing in your life, and I could put together a 5-minute trailer, or that I think they call it trailer with these movies when they put the little clips together. I could put a 5-minute trailer together and probably come up with a very, very depressing movie of your life. But on the other hand, I think that I could also take 5 minutes worth of clips and put together a montage or a little miniature 5-minute movie with all these incredible triumphs and happy times of your life. Unfortunately, for some people, they have both movies, but unfortunately, they focus on the 5-minute depressing one. Now, keep in mind, we all have a 5-minute depressing one and a 5-minute exciting one with positive things happening to us. It is our choice which video that we plan to put in and which one we plan to play. So if we're going to play the depressing one, we have that video. It's there. It's available. It's accessible. And we have a choice to play it. On the other hand, we also have that 5 minute of positive information. And I'm not saying 5 minute literally. Hopefully, we have a lot more than 5 minutes in our entire lives of things that we've been excited about, triumphs, things that we've been successful about. The key is, what do we focus on? What do we focus on? Do we focus on the failure or do we focus on the success? That is a perception, and perceptions really play a very important part here. Perhaps you've heard me say this before. Shakespeare said, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Boy, that's powerful. Let me repeat that. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. See, for every positive experience that you have, there's a million other people experiencing the exact same thing that you are at this very moment, and they're hating it. And for every negative experience that you have in your life, there's another million people out there experiencing the exact same thing, and they are loving it. It's all a perception. Why? Because it's the thinking that makes it so. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they get very discouraged and very depressed, things don't go their way. They have a lot of past negative experiences. They have the woe is me, the pity party attitude. And I'm one to tell you that I've done it myself. I've had many, many woe is me pity parties. And I believe at times we need that. I think it's important. But we also have to keep in mind there's a time and place for everything. I think Scripture says there's a time to weep, and then there's a time to rejoice. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. So where do we draw the line? The line has to be drawn sooner or later. We got to get over this stuff. That's a choice also. So if somebody came to me, you know, they were very discouraged, very depressed, you know, I'm not going to come up to them and say, oh, hey, you know, you could be like so-and-so. Or because maybe at that time they need somebody to lean on. But sooner or later, depending on the circumstances, depending on the state of mind of the individual, sooner or later, they hopefully should make the choice to move on. When we make that choice, we've got to learn to bury the hatchet and stop living in the past. And that, for some people, is very, very, very challenging. And if we don't focus on the good stuff, we're going to be repeating that 5-minute negative video over and over and over again. When a person does this, when they're focusing obviously on all the negative things, the challenge they have is even though they've had successes in their life, they're not focusing on them. And if they're not focusing on them enough, what happens is the negative experiences smother the positive experiences that we've all had in life. The key is we have to be strong enough mentally to bounce back and try to get the positive things in our life to smother the negative things. And when you're experiencing a lot of negative things, let's say maybe right now you're experiencing a lot of negative things, it's really difficult to pull out the positive stuff and get the positive things that you've experienced in your past to smother the negative ones so you can keep focusing on positive things so you can continue to follow through on your goals. That is very challenging. It's obviously easy to focus on the positive things when things are doing well. But what we have to do, basically what separates, I guess, the men from the boys, is the person who can really go forward and not live in the past, especially when the past can be so traumatic and so challenging. You know, I was doing some research on some people and some individuals who have been through some major things in their past, and they did not allow their past to affect their future in a negative way. Did a little research on Abraham Lincoln. You've probably heard about him, one of the presidents of the United States. And what's interesting about his story, I mean, this man had one failure after another, after another, after another. I mean, it just did not stop. Failure after failure after failure, worked up to the point of actually being the president of a major country, a president of the United States. I stop and think about Helen Keller. I think most of us have heard of her before. She came down, unfortunately, with an illness that left her blind, left her deaf before her second birthday. And it's amazing to see the things that this woman had accomplished in her life to be so handicapped and so challenged. When we stop and think about this, you know, when I was putting this together and thinking about a person who is not only deaf, but is also blind. Can you imagine? Think about that. I mean, being blind in itself, that's got to be a major handicap. Being deaf in itself, that's got to be an incredible major handicap. But having them both, unbelievable challenge. And what this woman was able to accomplish and continue to go forward, she did not let something like that slow her down or stop her from attaining many and many, many of her goals and dreams. So what about you? You know, if we're not careful, and we're going to be discussing this point in just a second, a little bit later, I should say, do you make excuses? Here are people that went through so many major things in their life, and I look at somebody like Helen Keller, who, you know, who's both deaf and blind, and I started thinking about some of my things that I've been through. You know, maybe it really wasn't that bad. I mean, that's a major thing this woman went through. So when we go through some of our past experiences, we need to be able to have some people that we can think about that have been through some major things like we're going through. Now, I don't mean to say that, you know, next time you have a major bad problem or things are really hard, let's say you had the opportunity to call me up and you say, you know, Gary, things aren't going my way. I try to keep going forward. I keep doing this. I think I'm doing all the right things and nothing's happened. I'm certainly not going to come up to you and say, hey, man, think about Helen Keller. You know, imagine what she went through. Look at you. Because maybe that person needs somebody to lean on a little bit. But when they get over that frame of mind that's, you know, pretty negative, and they start getting a little bit, you know, of a drive to move forward and try to change things and look at things at a different perspective, then maybe we need to start thinking about people like that. And often we want to blame everybody else. You know, Helen Keller, she could have had many, many excuses. I mean, number one excuse or number two would be, I'm blind and I'm deaf. I mean, that's a pretty darn good excuse, I would imagine, but she never allowed those quote-unquote possible excuses to slow her down. So let's look at ourselves. Are we doing that? Are we using excuses of our past quote-unquote failures? Are we blaming it on these failures? Are we blaming it on other people? And if we are, no question about it, it's going to prevent us from following through. We can have all the greatest goals in the world, but if we are not taking responsibility ourselves, which we'll talk about later, we're not going to be able to go forward. Let's go to the next statement on session 7, page 1 here. Try to identify what is good programming and what is bad. Fill in the blank here. Eliminate what you don't want and keep, put the word keep in there, and keep what you do. Let me repeat that. Eliminate what you don't want and keep what you do. So what are we saying there? We're saying that it is a what? It is a choice. And we all know this logically, but we're going to talk about how to do this. The next sentence is, when you are able to accomplish this, you control your thinking instead of other people or other things. Very powerful statement there. Let's fill in the blank with people or things. When you are able to accomplish this, you control your thinking instead of other people or other things. So obviously then it sounds good. Yeah, great. Gary, I like that. Makes a lot of sense to me. I'll buy it. But how? How do we do this? How do we eliminate what we want to and keep what we want to? See, if we are a product of everything from the day that we were born to this very moment, and if that is true, and I hope you buy that because I certainly buy that, what this means then is that we have allowed all this information that goes into our mind, all these things that we've learned or seen or visualized or experiences, we've allowed all this information to program us and to a large degree make us who we are today. Here is the sad part about that. The sad part is for most people, or at least for many people, they have not allowed all this information to come to them, and they have not been able to say, okay, this information I want to keep. I like that. I like that. I want that to condition my thinking. I want that to make me a better person. I want that to enable me to create the drive and the desire to keep going forward. Look at this one. Don't like that one. I'm throwing it away in the garbage. I'm not going to have that in my life. I'm not going to have that in my brain. It's not going to rent space in my head. Most people don't do that. We want to get to a point somewhere in our life, and hopefully you've started a lot earlier. If not, we need to start now. We need to get to a point in our life where we allow the programming ourselves. Whatever comes at us, we have a choice, and we say, okay, I'm going to freeze frame this. Okay, I'm going to choose to keep this. Nah, I don't like it, or I'm going to discard it. Let me get the next one. And when we can do that, we're actually really taking control of our own thinking. So let's talk about how do we do this. Here's a neat way to help you learn how to do this. And it's really a lot of fun when you can master this. We'll go to the next statement under how do you do this. Here we go. Identify a belief. Identify a belief or a thought and determine what would your outcome, fill in the blank with the word outcome, O-U-T-C-O-M-E, and determine what your outcome, what it would be by flying by this belief. Fill in the blank with the word belief. So identify a belief or thought and determine what your outcome, or what would your outcome be by flying by this belief. One more time. Identify a belief or thought and determine what would your outcome be by flying by this belief. Next sentence, now ask yourself, is it in harmony with your goals and values? Fill in the blank there. Is it in harmony with your goals and values? So what does all this mean? Let's explain it. Then we'll do some examples. What we're actually doing here is when we get exposed to some of this external stimuli, some of this programming, the media, the TV, parents, what people are saying to us, what it's saying here is we need to identify what the thought process is. What's the statement? Then, if we continued to fly by this belief, remember we talked about flying by instruments in the mental vertigo session? If we were to continue to fly by this belief, what would the result be? Then determine what the result would be. And once we determine now what the result is going to be, is this result in harmony with what our goals or our values are? I'll give you an example. You've probably heard people say before, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Have you ever heard someone say that? You know who told you that? Your parents probably told you that. And if you have kids, you're probably telling them the same stupid thing. Now, I'm not saying that statement in an arrogant way. You can have your cake and eat it too. But you know what? You can have your cake and eat it too. Not the fact that you can have everything and it's all you. But stop and think about it. It would be similar to me saying to you, you can't have your clothes and wear them too. That doesn't make any sense. So that's a thought process that I would not want to accept, because what it does, it can limit us a little bit. And for some people, it will limit them a lot. Let's look at the two examples that we have here at the bottom of page 1 in session 7. Here's an example. Here is the thought or the belief. The thought or the belief is the higher the risk, the higher the reward. We want to determine now, is this positive programming for me or is it negative programming? Keep in mind, most people would look at this and probably say, oh, that's positive. The higher the risk, the higher the reward. I personally would agree with you, but for some people, they may not look at that as positive because this result from this belief may not be part of their goals. I hope it would be. Let me explain that further. So you have this thought, the higher the risk, the higher the reward. If you were now to apply this thought or fly by this belief or this instrument, what would your outcome be? Well, your outcome would likely be what? Greater results, greater rewards. Why? Because the belief says the higher the risk, the higher the reward. So we know now by flying by this thought process what the result would be. It would be greater rewards. The next question is to ask, is that in harmony with my goals and values? Well, if one of your goals is to get greater results in specific areas of your life and you're applying this thought process or this statement to that particular area in your life, then the answer would be what? The answer would be yes. Let's go to the next example. Some people will say, no one will like my idea. Or maybe somebody would say to them, no one's going to like that idea. And you start buying that. Oh, maybe no one will like this idea. All right, so here's a thought process. Let's go through the process with this. No one will like my idea. If we were to fly by this belief, what would our outcome be? Well, let's see. If I went ahead and started acting on this thought process that says, no one will like my idea, that is going to get me to talk to nobody. Why would I talk to them anyway? Because no one will like my what? My idea. So that's going to shut me down. That's going to prevent me from going forward. All right, so now we know what the thought is. We now know what the outcome is. Here's the thought. Here's the outcome. The question is now to ask, is that in harmony with my goals and values? Well, I would hope for all of you out there, the answer would be no. So if the answer is no, what do we want to do with this thought process? We want to what? Discard it. How do we discard it? Well, one of the ways that we discard it is figure out how you would reward it. Well, we would reward it by talking to nobody because we believe no one's going to listen or have interest in our idea. So we're going to have to force ourselves to what? Start talking. And the more we believe this stupid little idea that no one will like my idea, the more we're probably going to have to force ourselves to talk. But this is how we start learning how to identify what we want to accept mentally and what we don't want to accept. And if we don't learn to master this, we're just like bumper cars. Somebody hits us from the front, boom, we go back. Somebody hits us from the left side, boom, we go over to the right. Back and forth, no emotional control or stability. This particular lesson and this particular part that we just spoke about, right here, this information is going to show you how to do that. Learn to master that. It's really, really powerful, this little information here on this particular session. Very, very powerful. Meet me on page 2. Let's move over there a little bit. The next statement. Identify specific experiences that may have happened in your life that could be preventing. Put the word preventing. PREVENTING. Identify specific experiences that may have happened in your life that could be preventing you from following through on your goals. You know, a lot of people haven't really taken the time to do this. A lot of people say, well, Gary, you know, I'm following through on my goals. I'm one of these movers and shakers. I'm making things happen. But you know what? You may still be way out in front of the others, if you will. But if you were to take the time and stop and analyze, are there still things preventing you from going beyond what you might consider normal? There may be some things that, because you haven't stopped to take the time to identify them. Maybe you are the type that, you know, you're really not going forward like you should be. Have you taken the time to really figure out what's preventing you? Why do people not usually do this exercise or have a hard time doing it? Here's one reason. Number one, it's very painful. For some, it can be very, very painful. They might have to relive some of the pain that they've experienced in their past 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and by reliving that, it hurts. It really does. And because of this hurt and some of this pain, we don't want to deal with it. We put a block in front of us. We put a wall in front of us. And because that wall is there, it is preventing us, obviously, from going forward. There's another reason why many people don't or have a challenge doing this exercise. The other reason is, if you were to do this exercise, what it amounts to is that you individually, me included, we would have to take responsibility for our own actions. Some people don't want to do that. See, notice what it says here. It says, identify specific reasons that may have happened in your life or my life that could be preventing me from following through. Is there something that I'm allowing to prevent me from following through? When you say, I'm looking for something that I am allowing to prevent me from following through on my goals, you cannot say that without taking blame. You have to take blame for this. Remember, we've discussed this before. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. If we don't take blame, we're always going to put the blame on somebody else, and then we're not going to get anywhere. I know two specific people. They hang around each other. The expression goes, they're peas in a pod. They're exactly the same. They always have a story that you will hear every single day practically. Or if they don't give you the story, you can say a little trigger word or two and they'll relive a story from 20 years ago and they will give you the reason because of something that happened 5, 10, 20 years ago why they can't keep going forward and why they're where they're at today. And it's just like they just don't get it. It's like when you try to show them something that's blue and it's truly blue, they just got to tell you it's yellow. And you just try to convince them any way you possibly can that this is blue, and they keep saying, no, it's yellow, yellow, yellow. You can't go any further with somebody like that because they're not willing to take responsibility. And that's the key here. So this exercise on page 2 of session 1 will do us no good unless we're willing to take responsibility. So we can't live in the past. We really cannot live in the past. What we have to do, we have to learn to deal with the past. Let's talk about the exercise here. What we would want to do, and we're not going to have a lot of time to do this individually. Of course, this is an exercise that you're going to want to do on your own. But what we want to do here is we want to really start taking some time and writing down specific things. Write down specific things that will specifically prevent you from following through. Are there things that you are aware of? Maybe there's somebody that's close to you, a significant other, a spouse, a friend, somebody close to you, that they're seeing things that you're not seeing because sometimes it's hard to make, you know, it's hard to answer a lot of this information and put some information on this because sometimes we're the picture inside that frame. So if we can have somebody look at our picture, maybe they can say, hey, you know, I notice every time I talk to you about this or this or that, you always bring this up and you seem to use it as an excuse. Try to find some of this information down. If you have more than 6, go ahead and put down more than 6. If you have 1 or 2, fine, put down 1 or 2. Now, after you've done that, you want to put each particular thing that may be preventing you down, you put them down separately. Put the first one down, that's all by itself. Go ahead and get another one, put that down all by itself. Now go to the second half of page 2. Take each experience and identify how you might be presently rewarding them. Ah, there's the key. So what we're looking for now, we're looking for ways that you're rewarding the junk that's happened to you in the past. Example, I'll give you some personal experiences. Some of you know some of the crazy junk that I've been through. Let's say one of the things I might want to put down that may be preventing me from attaining my goals is my wife cheated on me. Later on, we had a baby. Then she tells me it wasn't mine. All right. Unfortunately, that was true. I know most of you probably have heard that crazy story of mine, but that's unfortunately just part of it. So that would be one of the things that I could use to prevent me from going forward on my goals. Now, I would go ahead and go to the bottom half of this page too. Take each experience and identify how you might be presently rewarding them. So how could I reward that? Or how in the past did I reward that? Well, number one, I had a lot of distrust for just people in general. I would reward that by being very cold to people, being very cautious with relationships. I would get into one relationship, and anything that just had a slight tint of, oh boy, it's not going to go right, I would have to break the relationship up right away because I was afraid of being hurt and have them break the relationship up with me. I could not handle that. That's how I would reward this. So I needed to identify that, and once I was able to identify that, then I could slowly start getting out of the basket case that I was in. Maybe the second thing I could put down is because of what happened in my past, I lost my business, my father was murdered. I might put these things down. What would be the ways I would reward that? Well, if I lost my business, I remember specifically one day saying, well, my goodness, you know, here I had as a teenager a $100,000 a year business. I had $30,000 cash in the bank. I lost everything. I'll never forget this. I recall one day looking at my bank statement. In fact, it was my savings account, and I had right at about $30,000. And I looked at that and I said to myself, you know, I could never imagine having zero. I mean, how could I even function? And I had really put too much emphasis on money at that time. And, you know, as a teenager, it's hard not to when you have that kind of money. And I kid you not, less than 3 months later, I literally had $75, and I remember going to the bank to pull my last $75 out and close that account. So how would I reward these negative experiences now? Well, I don't reward those now, but I did when I tried to recover as I was recovering. Number one was, my goodness, I don't want to start something all over again for fear I might just lose everything. I would just go on and on and on. And the key is we have to learn to identify these things, because if we don't identify these things, as I've mentioned before and I'll mention again in this entire program, is if we don't identify these things, we can have all the goals in the world. Just because we have goals, that really doesn't mean anything. Remember, setting the goals, it's really not that difficult. The challenge is getting all the psychological junk that's in our head and putting all the ducks in a row. My brother was in here a couple days ago. He says, you know, my life is just getting all screwed up. I can't get all my ducks in a row. I need to shoot the ones that aren't in the right row. So I guess that might be one way to do it. We have to learn to identify these things. And when we start learning to identify these things, then we can start working on them. And as we work on them, we'll see that we'll be able to continue to go forward following through on our goals. So take this information to heart. I think you'll really find that it takes a lot of soul searching. It takes some time. I really hope that you take some private time with yourself, or maybe if you want to work with this with somebody else, take a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour, even though it may be painful. Maybe this is the time to let go of some of this stuff so you can continue to go forward. And I can promise you, by going forward, it will certainly be worth it, though it is challenging. We want to go back to setting the goal. So get your next sheet that you have put together or printed out entitled Setting the Goal. We're at number 6 on that. And that question states, are there any specific things that may prevent me from attaining this goal? Ah, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Let's repeat that. Are there any specific things that may prevent me from attaining this goal? We started in the beginning with identifying a goal that we want to attain. We've gone through some of the sub-goals, the step-by-step plan, why we want to attain this goal, identifying specific ways that we can fuel our passions, Who would I model or study that I can take some of that learning curve off? Now we want to figure out, okay, we've got all this. Is there something that's going to still prevent me from doing this? What about me? And this is where we go back to maybe some of the information that we've just done here on page one, session seven. Also, this is also where we'll want to go back to session one and go through all those statements and questions and see what we had that might be a six or less. Anything that may be a six or less, that information may need to go in here. Maybe there's some other things that we did not discuss in session one that applies to you individually. This is where you've got to be honest again. Remember, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So here's where we have to be honest again, and we put that down under six here in setting the goal. Because it doesn't make sense to have all these sub-goals. It doesn't make sense to have a step-by-step plan if we have a bunch of things that are preventing us from going forward. Maybe the fear of failure, fear of success, things that we're also going to continue to talk about later on in this program. Maybe we're talking about certain things in the past, information that you've put together on the first part of page two on session seven. Maybe some of those things are still yet preventing you from going forward. So that's why we want to identify them and put them down. Okay, so we're going to do a quick review of some of the things that we discussed today, and then we'll move on to next week for session eight. We discussed what we have to do to identify things in our past that may be preventing us from going forward. We want to know what they are, identify what they are. Also, keep in mind that we want to really make sure we don't focus on the negative things. Let me go into that a little bit. I think there's some things that I'd like to share with you here that I think may be of benefit to you. When a person focuses on negative things in their life, obviously they allow the negativity to smother anything that's positive that's happened to them. That person has a tendency just to focus on all the bad stuff, if you will. If we have a tendency of doing that, and I've had the tendency of doing that in my own life because I had so many bad things happen to me so consistently in such a short period of time. Well, here's one way that you can use to get over some of that. Anytime you have something in your life that in your mind's eye you feel that there's some success to it, you want to write that down. And the reason you want to write it down is because you have got to force yourself to remember that. If you're a person who's quite negative, you have to write anything that's positive down. And again, the reason you have to write this down is because you're so used to the negative stuff that anything that positive that comes along, you've got so much negative junk in your attitude that you won't even remember the positive stuff a day from now. And I used to have a real hard time with that. I used to have a number of successes, but all of a sudden I got flooded with all these failures and all these negative things. And any success that I had or thought I had, I mean, I just completely erased it all and eliminated it mentally because I got this flood of just, you know, one negative thing after another. So what I actually had to do is I had to be consciously aware of anything positive that happened in my life, though it was hard for me to perceive it as positive because I had such greatness, if you will, with regards to the negative stuff. So if we write down anything that's positive, or as we're doing things, anything good that we can see, you know, one little thing that we've done to move forward, we want to write it down and keep a list of these things. The reason we want to keep a list of them is because when we get flooded again with a lot of the negativity, the stuff called life, we want to be able to find where we have some of this good stuff hanging around. And sometimes we get so stressed out with the negativity, we have a hard time trying to find mentally going inside looking for some of the good stuff because we get so overwhelmed. So by writing the positive things down that we're experiencing in our life or have experienced, especially recently, or something that's really, really important that we can really hone in on, we want to put it on paper so we can keep a track of it, we can keep it in front of us, and help us to focus on it. If we don't have it on paper, if it's not strong enough for us, we've got to put it on paper because the negative stuff is really going to smother us, and that's where we're going to lose. I would strongly encourage you to do that if you have that tendency to focus on negative things. And to be honest with you, even if you don't have that tendency, if you really write down a lot of the positive accomplishments that you've been able to do, your family has been able to do, and lists like that, it encourages you to be mentally tougher, even more so, when the bad times hit. I personally have got a list Most of mine now, fortunately, are mental lists, because when things go bad, I can quickly jump to that mental list, and it does enable me not to eliminate some of the negative stuff, but to at least deal with it and respond a lot better than I had in the past. Remember, how do we differentiate something that's programming us in a negative way and something that's programming us in a positive way? Well, figure out what the negative or the positive thought is, identify what the thought is, and if we were to fly by that thought, what would the outcome be? Determine what the outcome is, and then find out if that's in harmony with our goals or not. If it's in harmony with our goals, hey, that's probably something that we want to keep. If it's not in harmony with our goals, most likely it's something that we want to discard. And then take this information, go to setting the goal, and see if you can identify specific things that may prevent you from attaining that ultimate goal or goals that you or you and your family wish to attain. Well, Al, again, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks again. I'm turning it over to you.
Well, Gary, thanks a million on behalf of people here. Incredible. Every single week, it just gets stronger and stronger. Thank you for your valuable time.
We'll conclude this session by giving you the opportunity once again to listen in on a one-on-one consultation. I hope you enjoy it.
Kelly, you want to start off?
I can, sure. But the call that you did this last week was really like a huge eye-opener for me. I've always had, you know, like you shared, we all have issues, we all have baggage, we
yep.
all have things in our past, and some of us bury them, you know, some of us pretend they never happened, some of them, they're conscious in your mind all the time.
Yep.
I think in my instance, I've done a pretty good job of trying to pretend that those issues never happened to me at all, and because of my not thinking them through and processing them and dealing with them, that's preventing me from really seeing what I could become
yep.
or maybe why I'm not getting to where I want to be.
Okay.
And so for me, I looked at this sheet of paper and I've tried to write some things down on it now, but boy, was it hard.
Yeah. Why was it hard? Because it was hard to find them, or was it hard to bring them out and admit them and realize them and bring them to the fore?
I think both.
Yeah.
Some of it, I buried the stuff so deeply that for me to dig down far enough and even find it,
yeah.
it's almost as if it was never there to start with.
All right, now let me stop you there. Would you agree then maybe that now that you've kind of exposed this a little bit, that you see how this stuff in the past has maybe held you back from going forward? Now they kind of relate to a little bit where you're thinking, oh, that's why I'm not doing this, or that's why I know I should be doing this, but I'm not doing it?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Give me some more. If you want to go in deeper with me on some of the specifics, it's fine. If not, fine. And you know, let's go specifically on what you want to get out of this call today with me.
Well, I'm not sure, honestly, how. I mean, we could spend 3 years in counseling to try to figure my brain out, and obviously we don't have that much time. I look at this and I say, you know, is this really relevant? You know, something that happened to me in grade school or some issue that I had with my parents, or, you know, how far back do I need to go? Ultimately, I'm an adult now. I need to take responsibility
yeah.
for me today. I can't go back and blame it on what happened when I was 6.
Right, okay.
Those things are still really open wounds.
Sure, okay, let me go back with you on your first question. How far do I go back? Well, yeah, we can go from day one and start picking, and like you said, we'd be here forever. What I'm concerned about, what I want you to go back into, I want you to find out the stuff that's slowing you down. So yeah, you have baggage, I have baggage, but there's some baggage that, you know, I had one kid, you throw me in a pond in school, you know, I've gotten over that.
Right.
Now, my dad was murdered, okay, that's some serious baggage. I know that there's some baggage that is really, really heavy, and that's the stuff that we're really looking for. You're looking for the baggage that is preventing you from going forward, that is preventing you from saying, hey, I can do this, or I am worthy of doing this, or I do deserve this. This is the type of stuff that we're looking for. So you're looking for the blocks. You know, you're looking for those hurdles that seem to be really, really high to jump and get over with. That's the stuff that we're trying to pick up on.
Okay. Okay. Well, what I'd like to be able to do better
mm-hmm.
is, when I've made a decision that I'm going to do something, and I'm pretty tenacious,
okay.
I don't give up very easily at all, but I think I sabotage myself along the way, So, you know, I get the feeling that I'm banging my head on the wall. And what I'd like to be able to do is somehow be able to get my brain to not turn itself into sabotage mode and move through stuff so that I can get to wherever it is that I'm seeing that I need to be at or that I want to be at or where my goal is.
Okay. A lot of people share that with me. And I certainly don't want to make it sound like here's a real simple answer. But
well, that's okay. Simple's good.
Well, simple is good, but doing it is that's what the challenge is.
That's right.
But so the simple thing is okay. The simple thing is that you admit that you sabotage your success or, you know, when you're working toward your goals. Do you know, just give me a yes or no before you give me the full answer. Do you know how you're sabotaging it? Yes or no? Do you know specific things that you're doing to prove that you're sabotaging it?
I think in general, I could say yes, but specifically, I'd have to say no.
All right. When we say in general, are you talking about the action steps that you're doing that can show that you're sabotaging it? And the no part would be psychologically, you might not be able to figure that out?
Yeah, that might be true. Yes. Yes, I could say that.
Okay. Let's come up with a scenario. Can you give me a scenario where you would be doing very, very well? You know, you're on the ball, you're clicking, things are happening. And then all of a sudden, we are not going forward anymore. There's a little bit of sabotage. Tell me a scenario of how you might go so I can try to give you some specific answer as opposed to giving you, you know, hang in there, it's not that bad, keep going forward, junk.
Yeah, well, I've heard that before, and that's not working for me.
Doesn't work for any of us.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
For about 10 seconds, maybe.
Well, maybe 15. Let's say an example, I'm buying advertising. And
okay.
I'm spending a lot of money on finding people for me to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And I start out, you know, with a new advertising plan, and I talk to a lot of people, and I get some good responses, and I get some not so good responses, and
mm-hmm.
things are going great. And then at some point in there, I lose the momentum or the energy to continue pursuing calling people.
Okay.
And it's consistent. I do that a lot.
All right. Let me stop you there.
Okay.
You gave me a clue. The clue was you stopped making the phone calls.
Uh-huh.
All right. Why do you make the phone calls in the first place?
To find that one.
No.
Okay.
Nope. You make the phone calls because you believe. Make sense?
Okay.
Tell me, if you don't agree with me, tell me. I'm cool with that. No's acceptable. You are making those phone calls. Yes, because you want, obviously you're in business, you want to grow your business, blah, 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 blah. But why are you making those phone calls? Because you believe in what you're doing, and that in turn causes you to make the phone calls to help you grow your business. Do you buy that?
Yes, okay.
All right, make sense?
Yes.
My reason for telling you that is if you buy that, why do we quit making the phone calls? What happens to your belief?
Well, somehow it got lost.
Bullseye.
Yeah.
Mental vertigo, right?
Uh-huh.
So, but we need to understand why am I making the phone call and why am I not? Why are you making the phone call? Because of your belief. Then something happens and then all of a sudden you're no longer making the phone call because of your belief or lack of. Example, if I said, okay, Kelly, here are 10 people for you to phone call and you call all 10 of them, and all 10 of them are just so glad you called, and they said, here's my check, here's my credit card. Are you going to have problems calling the next 10 people?
Probably not.
Probably not, no.
Probably not.
No, all right? Because every time you make a phone call, you get a positive reinforcement. It feels good. You get excited. Something happens. There's a result. There's a reward. And then what happens to your belief? Does it diminish or does it get stronger?
It's going to get stronger.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? Make another phone call.
Uh-huh.
So what we need to identify then is why are we losing that belief? It could be from the past. You know, it could be, here's an example. Just, you know, throwing an example out, Kelly. You make 4 phone calls and you get no's. You know, I'm sick and tired of people like you bugging me. Or you, maybe not just a phone call. Just you speak to another human at the grocery store. And then you hear all this negative stuff. Then you walk away. You're in your car all by yourself. And you're thinking, you know what? Maybe I am no good. Oh, that's right. I remember my 3rd grade teacher told me that.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we're starting to get some of that baggage, and that baggage is now starting to affect us. Because I remember, for example, when I was in 10th grade, I remember my science teacher. very distinctly telling me how stupid I was.
Yep.
I mean, I will never forget that man. And I just, fortunately for me, I wanted to prove him wrong, because what was kind of interesting is I was in 10th grade at one school and 9th grade and 11th and 12th at another school. So in 9th grade, I did really, really, really well, and everybody thought I was this little geek genius because I did straight A's. And then I got into the girl thing when I was in 10th grade,
right.
And I got my first F in my life.
Oh, dear.
And then everybody thought in that particular school in 10th grade that I just fit right in. I was just like the rest of them, you know, a D and a C guy. And then when I decided not to go to that school anymore and went back to the school that I was in 11th grade, no one saw how bad I did in 10th grade. They only remember me from 9th grade as a straight-A student.
Right.
So when I went to my old school again back in 11th grade, everybody thinks I'm this straight-A geek again, and I just practically nearly flunked the grade before at a different school. But I was fortunate to know that I really was not stupid, and this guy was just the way he was to me. But if I had allowed that to sink in my head and maybe buy some of that, 5 years later or 10 years later, I try to do something and I get a lot of the no's and things don't go my way, and I start thinking, you know what, maybe that's, yeah, I guess that science teacher was right. I am no good. I am stupid. I'm not worthy. And that's what happens. That's why sometimes we have to identify some of the junk. So, okay, yes, you're losing some of that belief that's preventing you from going forward. Let's try to analyze why. Why are we losing some of that belief? Are we losing some of the belief because, you know, you're just getting worn out? Maybe you're losing the belief because you're running out of the money, or your anticipation to attain this goal should have been here at this particular time and it's not. Okay, learn to identify that. Or is it deeper? Ah, maybe it is that 10th grade teacher that told me that, and maybe, you know, there's a revelation here, and maybe I am no good. And now we start learning to identify, you know, how we spoke about in this session, how we were speaking about how to identify the good programming and the bad programming. So if we believe that teacher, when that teacher said, you know, you'll amount to nothing, you are stupid, and now we start thinking, okay, if I were to reward that belief, what would my result be? Well, if I'm stupid, why try anything? So my result would be what? Doing nothing. That we now know would be a part of bad program, and we don't want to have anything to do with that. And that's how we start cutting things up and deciphering things. You know, what's so interesting, I think, about this, Kelly, is often, I think often what's worse in life is when you're feeling out of whack and you don't know why. You know, when you're running around emotionally and you're up and down, you're left and right, and you have no idea why that is, at least you can know why. And I think that starts giving you control. And if you can start learning why we're responding, then you can learn how to maybe change that. It's hard to try to figure out how to change it without knowing why, because if we don't really know the why, we get that up and down, back and forth, and we can never be consistent. I use the illustration like a bowling ball. You know, some people, they go bowling and they get a strike. They've never bowled a day in their life and they have no idea how they got the strike, and they really think they're going to get a strike again the next time they throw the ball. And they're going to get a gutter ball. But boy, they got a strike and they believe they did. And they know they did, but they believed that because they got a strike once, they're going to do it again. And they have no idea how they did it. What you want to learn to do is you want to learn, how did you do it? How did you get this emotion, this negative emotion, or this positive emotion for that matter? And taking time and analyzing it this way, you start really learning so much more about you, as opposed to as opposed to being that emotional bumper car.
Yeah, that was a great analogy.
Does that help you?
Oh, yes, it does.
Just take some time when you start feeling some of that sabotage. Try to figure out why. And basically, most of it is something affected your thought process. Something affected your belief to succeed. And is it some baggage in the past? Maybe it is. How do we deal with it? Well, that again, you know, we can go on forever and ever. There are some ways that we'll be discussing, and you've probably picked up some ways already throughout the program on how we can deal with it. The key is that you do need to deal with it, because if you don't, what's going to happen is it's going to creep up again and again and again, and it's going to constantly keep affecting you. And one of the best ways to really deal with it is first acknowledge it. And when you start acknowledging it, then you realize that, you know, hey, you know, I've given into this in the past. It's time now to let this go. See what you can do to move on. And as you start breaking things down like we're doing in this entire program, you really start knowing yourself. And I'm hoping by the end of this whole thing that people look back and say, you know, I know so much more about me than I've ever known in my life. And when you start getting that, then you can start really making some major progress. The whole idea is to really get to understand us, what's going on in our head, being able to tap into it, and move in the direction that we choose to. All righty?
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sure I'll see you on the next 5 phone calls or so to go.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I'll be here.